Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. So I had no right to judge you, but the middle of it is a reflection of how I feel about me and you. But we are as perfect as we were created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces. Share the same space. It's not gonna change. We might as well get it right now.
Is it love or some condition? Cause it's not a part of a religion.
Once you're there, you lie to the people that put you there, then you lie to the
wants you there to get more and more money. It just become a cesspool of lies. Okay, so politics, or as Mike McGee would always say, politics, that's the biggest cesspool of lies, okay? Well, I won't say the biggest, but of course it's one of the biggest. Then you have the police department, who of course derived from your slave catchers. And right before the turn of the century, before the Civil War. So most of your police departments, you will see, were implemented maybe 5, 10, in some cases, 3 years after emancipation. So what that tells you is, as I always state, Europeans don't just wake up and decide this is what we're going to do today. They are long-term planners for their long-term madness. And because you're not operating off that stimulus, it's hard for you to understand. But you know that if you want a flower to grow in the spring, in the summer, you're going to have to plant it in the spring, correct? Okay, so they have actually locked in and locked us out to things that we have basically knew that were innately inbred in us. But because, again, we don't have our own minds, we have the minds of the liars. And because we have the minds of the liars, I believe it has kept us perpetually sick, religious, powerless, and basically crazy. It's not the kind of crazy that will get you in a loony bin, but it's, however, nevertheless crazy. That's what we are. And it's only because, again, it ain't our fault, people. You know, I'm here with us. I'm a person. It's all because of the lies. Okay? So there's a book, Dirty Little Secrets, and it's about Black history, its heroes, and other troublemakers. And I'm going to spend the next couple weeks dealing with this here book because it is so interesting and profound. And it's by a very, very intelligent, well, needs no introduction, Brother Claude Anderson and his Power Economic Corporation. You know, if you guys don't do nothing else, you need to begin to really look at ourselves as really like all the other groups. We have to begin to look at ourselves as really a clan. And it doesn't mean that you have to dislike anybody else, but you have to close the door at some point and practice group economics, otherwise you're going to be extinct. You know the Aztecs? Remember them? Oh, that's right, because they're gone. Probably them. Power Economics is a real good book by Claude Anderson. And it talks about some of the things that we're going to need to do as a community in order to stop the madness, because we really don't have very long. And if you want to know who Claude Anderson is, I mean, this guy worked under the Clinton administration, I think President Johnson. I mean, he's been a, what you call a financial seer, and he's an EDD. For those of y'all who like letters behind your name, EFGHIJ. But he is an EDD. And it is in education and finance. And I think Anderson economics is really his thing. And if you're not listening to this guy in terms of the plan, and if you haven't heard of him, you really, really need to pick up anything that you can get from him and begin to practice group economics, because anytime people come into our communities and take our resources and take them out of the community, you're going to constantly see the community looking worse and worse and worse. And then if they start lifting the resident requirements on most of the jobs here, you're going to see Mississippi City is going to resemble East St. Louis. And I don't know, for those of y'all who know what I'm talking about, it's here. So basically, you can't trust and you can't put your hope in a political system, which you already have done, and it has failed you, and it will continue to fail you until you understand that nobody who has captured you will have your damn best interest in mind. You understand it's a lie. Talk, that's what we talk about, lies. Lies is, oh, we should all live together, and we should all love, yes, we should all get along with one another, and there is no such thing as black people should try to close ranks and deliver themselves out of their own bondage, because we're a multicultural society, and we have to all water down and pull out of this together. And why that's being said, the lies are being practiced, and all of them are being perpetuated against black people. Because once we begin to integrate or water down, we begin to dilute our power. So I don't see you telling the Chinese people that they have to join. You allow them to continue with their culture. The thing about it is we don't have one, and we allow them to give us one, and we continue to be their niggas. And so when you do want to close rank and have a situation where you understand that it is for your best interest and the survival of your babies and your grandbabies and your great-grandbabies and your nation, for you to shut the damn door and figure out how we're going to solve the problem, starting with these hooligans on the street. If you can't even do that collectively without getting permission from white people or having them join us or whatever we need to have to do, on some level, it's already a wash. I know we're here in America. I know we are here in America. But we have to practice some type of Klan mentality. I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that economically, if a group can't sustain itself and is always begging for its pans out and don't own nothing, and it's perpetual, they don't create, distribute, produce anything. So just like the nation, it's a perpetual consumer. And only with this dumb consumer, it spends, this slave is great because it made more money than any slave in history. We're the richest of all the poor in all the countries. But we give our money right back to the people who have been captured and enslaved us. And we can't take all the income that we've amassed and get ourselves out of the condition that we're in. That can only happen to a people that are colonized, you know? And so that's the sad thing. When you start admitting that you are colonized, then you have to start dealing with the fact that your mind is not your own, okay? And it hurts me so bad because I talk to somebody that I love so much, and I always said that I religious split my family right down the middle, you know? And I really don't ever want to put myself in a position where I'm allowing somebody's religion to split me away from them. But I also know that ignorant people are very dangerous. And if you haven't learned that by now, they're just as dangerous as a smart person who says that you have your best interest in mind and sell you down the river. But you have to really be careful with dangerous people because ignorant people because they can be dangerous to your psyche, and you just have to either meet them in a neutral environment or you just have to figure out a way, because you cannot, I don't think, and I'm bringing up this situation because I encountered a situation where someone that I love dearly wanted me to worship with them, and they had a Star of David up. And their reasoning was because God told them to pray for Israel. And as a black person, I felt so ashamed that this person's knowledge was so either honestly ignorant or either evilly ignorant to keep up the programming that most people know isn't even true in the first place. A lot of people should see what Dr. King wrote his thesis on when he left Morehouse and what he knew about religion, and even yet still why he called himself a reverend. Most people who are learned and went to, again, theological school and things, they know that the historical Jesus that walked the planet was not what he was presented and packaged back to the people as. And they know that was done by a Ptolemy. They know that all the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, all of it comes from the ancient walls of Egypt. There is no religion. Most of the learned scholars know that. This Jesus thing is whole. There's a Christ, an anointing. And Christ means the anointed. So there is an anointing that comes on a Christ-like mentality. And I think that once we begin to understand those things, the lies, again, will dissipate. Because the only way that you can stop a lie is by exposing it with truth. But again, that's not what the bulk of this show is going to be about. And since we don't have a whole lot of time, I'm going to jump into some political and patriot lies that is just mind-blowing. Did y'all know in 1901, right after President Theodore Roosevelt invited Booker T. Washington to the White House, the South was so incensed and reacted with violence against blacks all across America? Okay? Now, this is a little excerpt, again, and it was about the burning of Jamestown. Now, for y'all Christians who don't know who you use that King James Bible, but you do not, I guess being in religion, because I spent a lot of time in organized religion, again, I say it split my family down the middle, they teach you not to think. To just believe. And once you begin to start thinking, then you become outside of the box. And anytime somebody does that, then you become a cult. You become a mad person because God gave you a brain to think, not to just be led like sheep to a slaughter. And when you think of Jamestown and who King James was, why he was exposed, you know, he was a murderer. I mean, his lover was Lord Buckingham, and he had his mother killed. The first slave camp, I mean, that Jamestown, that was, and that they gave him all the Bible. He was corrupt. King James was a very corrupt individual for all the people who used his Bible and wouldn't dare use any other Bible. So my question first would be, what you people say, well, a murderer, a thief, God can deliver anybody. But I need you to understand that was he delivered when he took that slave ship over there and it was named Jesus and he put your ancestors on there and brought them back? What? See, here's the diabolical madness beginning to start right now. How can you're repenting, but you're going over there to steal people with a ship called Jesus. And I want you to, the good ship Jesus that brought your ancestors up here, which was lies and thievery, okay? They lied and they also stole. And, of course, there was unethical Uncle Tom, African king that used us and used some tribal people to get rid of for weapons or whatever, trinkets or whatever. It's just like you have Uncle Tom's today. My point is, they were never and couldn't have possibly have fathomed the depth of the nightmares that we would have went through coming over here. They were never invited on the slave ship to see how we would travel. The ones that were already slaves. Okay? Just like you have them today. So the burning of Jamestown was a very interesting story to me. The landing of 20 Africans at Jamestown in 1619 from a Dutch ship marked the formal beginning of the African-American experience in America. For the next 20 years, African blacks struggled to avoid a developing chase system, while poor whites struggled under the British rule to avoid a developing white class system. Okay? Check this out now. For the next 20 years, blacks struggled to avoid a developing caste system, while white poor struggled under British rule to avoid a developing white class system. White aristocrats, that 1%, who, you know what I mean, and British officials feared that poor white frontierians and African blacks would band together and overthrow the British governor of Virginia. See? So indeed, they did in 1676, in what history called Nat Bacon's Rebellion. It was the first popular rebellion in colonial America, and blacks, both free and enslaved, participated in it. Since they're not telling y'all this in history books, I think that we would do ourselves really good service of knowing how our history over here and before here played out, and to some of the reasons why we're experiencing some of the things we are today. Nathaniel Bacon was a cousin to a scientist and a philosopher named Sir Francis Bacon, who led the troops in rebellion against the colonial governor of Jamestown, Virginia, which was established in 1607 as England's first permanent settlement in North America. Okay? Nat Bacon's rebellion was the first of about 20 minor uprisings that demonstrated a new anti-authority attitude in America. For blacks, it was the beginning of a long-standing pattern. Blacks demonstrated their patriotism by burning down the capital of Jamestown. But after the uprising was suppressed, Nathaniel Bacon was dead, and his black and white associates either were outright killed or hanged. Okay? So again, after the uprising, Nathaniel Bacon was dead, and his black and white associates were either killed outright or hanged. Ironically, though, this black-white rebellion foreshadowed nearly every aspect, every respect, and laid the groundwork for the Revolutionary War, which followed nearly a century later. Now, to me, that is real interesting, because when you think about this, the puppet masters, who are the 1% that make up the lies and have the dumb poor people carrying out the ignoramus thought processes of their minds, you can see it today. You can see the upper class, or you can see 1% manipulating the masses. And whenever you hear something like this, Africans struggle to avoid developing a caste system, while poor whites struggle under British rule to avoid developing a white class system. White aristocrats and British officials feared that the poor white frontiersmen and African blacks would band together to overthrow the British government of Virginia. And that is exactly what they fear today. Because ultimately, when we close ranks and each rank deal with their own problems, and then as poor people, collectively, we come and deal with what our problems are. This manifesto right here, that the plan that they implemented to put the poor white against the black, again, that color construct, and even though he has no place for the poor white either, but if he can get him, can buy into you are better because you are white and you feel better than a Negro, it wouldn't make it hard to see how we are today and how we got to the situation, you know. And my 71, James Armistead, granted permission by his owner, William Armistead, to serve in the Continental Army and became one of the most important spies of the American Revolution. The information that James Armistead acquired aided his commander, Marquise de Lafayette, a Frenchman serving in the American Army, to defeat the British at Yorktown, Virginia, on October 19, 1781. Lafayette became an immediate hero. Armistead returned to being a slave. Now, although Lafayette wrote a letter urging Armistead's freedom, it was not until 1786 that the Virginia General Assembly intervened and granted it. Armistead later showed his appreciation for being freed from slavery by adopting the famous name of his Frenchman, Marquise de Lafayette. Interesting, huh? Interesting tidbit of Black history. I'm going to give you one more short one. And again, I'm going to spend the next couple shows dealing with some stories, because I want y'all to understand that we have a vast history here. Not only we'll take it here, not here, and leave it here, but we're going to do just a little bit here, so you can understand the history that we had here and see how it all pertains into today. Because if these lies aren't dealt with, I haven't even got to the religious lies, so y'all got to bear with me. Like I said, I'm going to take a few shows. I'm just going to set up some environments for you of how you can see the same stuff happen to you right now today. It's never changed, and it's never going to change until you stop thinking the way they want you to think. You know, because somebody said if you keep practicing the same thing and you're getting the same results and you won't try nothing different, then that means that you're insane. And I just say Black people are crazy. I don't want to go as far yet to say they're insane. But since I'm running out of time, I'm not going to be able to get to the second short story I wanted to, but I'm going to be back. And I'll make it very soon, because we're going to have to deal with some of this stuff here. I thank y'all for being with me, and thank you for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful morning. Be blessed, and hear yourself.
God bless this mess, this test. We pass. We'll be right back.
can float and crack my wings with rocky boat. Reel me back, drop me in. I can swim, I can float and crack my wings with rocky boat.